Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast. As you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And as you can hear, my voice is absolutely knackered. I've had a bit of a cold, but we struggle on because it's the Oasis Podcast and that's what we do. So tonight, I'm recording this on the night of the 1st of June, 2024, and it's been the first night of the Liam Gallagher Definitely Maybe Tour. And obviously I'm not there. But by all accounts, it's been a hell of a show. And what do we always say about Liam and Noel? Like, we want them to mix up the set. We want them to do different things. And Liam has absolutely done that tonight. Spoilers. I'm going to be talking about the songs played. I'm going to be playing clips of the songs played. If you don't want to hear that, then skip forwards now into the sort of the main interview part. The main interview part today is with Andrew Rooney, who is the author of the Oasis On Track book, which is out at the moment, which is basically the Oasis, like every song reviewed, like every song discussed and reviewed from the, you know, the pre-Definitely Maybe stuff all the way to the end. So it's absolutely great book. Important piece of work to have it out there, really. So it works as a nice kind of companion piece to Richard's book. And Andrew does big up Richard's book as well, which is great. So yeah, so that will be later. But first off, so Liam played at Sheffield Arena tonight. And annoyingly, you know, like often when Liam does these gigs, like, you know, you'll be seeing live streams will pop up. But I was hunting around everywhere for live streams. Nothing was coming up at all. Like, one briefly came up by Cy, who does the Champagne Supernova Bar on Instagram, but it must have been really bad signal or something in the venue, I imagine, because there was just nothing at all, which was really annoying. But there we are. Oh, and you know, I am aware I'm a complete hypocrite because I always moan about how I hate phones at gigs, you know, and I really don't like phones being out at gigs, and yet, you know, on the day when I'm not there wanting to watch the Oasis Liam Gallagher Definitely Maybe show, I'm there sort of desperately trying to find someone live streaming it and annoyed that no one was. So that's a bit of karma there, I suppose. But anyway, so videos have started dropping online now from people uploading them. And so I've got the set list here. So check this out. So we didn't know, like, what's he going to play. He said he was going to do B-sides. He said he was going to do the album in full, but not the album in full in a row, because, like, Live Forever needs to be later in the set. So, you know, so it's sort of how do you do it? And I was interested to see how he would do it. And, and so it goes like this. Rock and Roll Star, Columbia, Shaker Maker, first time played by any Oasis member since 2001. Up in the Sky, first time by an Oasis member since 1995. Dixie's Dinner, first time sung by Liam since 1995. I know Noel did it a few times in the early days of NGHFB. Bring It On Down, which Liam's done a few times, but not since, I think, about 2018. Cloudburst Live. That's not been played live since 1994. No videos of that have popped up yet, but I'm sure they will soon. I Will Believe, never been played live, or only very, you know, very early days live. So incredible that they played that. Half the World Away, first time we've ever heard that sung by Liam, and he dedicated it to Noel. I think he said my little brother or something. Do You Want to Be a Spaceman? He's played live. Now, he did do that a few times around 2018. Remember that was the funny one where we found out that he'd be playing it because Cynthia, who had done the fashion episode on the podcast, she was sort of working. I think she was volunteering at the gig and sort of heard it and recorded it. But yeah, that was good. So that's the first time that's been played since then. Fade Away, which he's done a few times, but still. Lock All the Doors. So he's played like the Oasis demo version of Lock All the Doors, which is mad. Then It's Good to Be Free, which is the first time Liam's done that since 1995. Whatever, which he's done, you know, quite a lot, but not since 2018. Cigarettes Now Cold, which he does every time. And Married with Children, which is the first time Liam sung that since 2002. And then we get into Supersonic, Slide Away, Live Forever. And then I'm the Walrus, which is the first time that Liam's done that as a solo act. So the last time he would have done that was the last ever Oasis gig in 2009. So absolutely insane. Yeah, and the clips I've heard, it all sounds pretty amazing. But let's have a listen to a few then, shall we? So here is Lock All the Doors. So the one thing I'll say about that, it does feel a little bit slow. I think compared to the original Oasis demo version, I think that feels a little bit faster. But yeah, still very, very cool to hear that. Next up, here's Liam doing Half the World Away. So how cool is that? I never thought I'd get to hear Liam sing Half the World Away. I mean, that's not even like something that we knew he'd done a version of or anything like that. But yeah, he's done it. So really, really cool. And I think he sings it brilliantly. I think it's ideal. Just all little slight different variations in the melody and stuff that he does just because that's how he tends to sing. I think it works really well. Let's go now with a bit of Dixie's Dinner. Yeah. Love Diggsy's Dinner. And what I can imagine that would be absolutely brilliant to see live. So yeah, very, very cool. Diggsy's Dinner. Awesome stuff. Here is Married with Children. So I wasn't sure if he would go acoustic, Married with Children, like if he's doing the album, you should go pure acoustic. Whereas when Oasis played it live, they used to do the rocked up version. And obviously, yeah, they've gone for the rocked up version. So like similar to how he does it on Live by the Sea, I suppose, is how I sort of always think of it. And then, I'm the Walrus to finish. Great to get a bit of Walrus there. So very, very exciting. What a show. I haven't got tickets for the Definitely Maybe tour, but actually I've just seen there is a few free, like there's like seats in London, but they're like 110 quid. I'm like, can I justify it? I don't know. As of right now, I'll say no, but I'm feeling very tempted. Let's just say that.
All right, stop the clock. It's James here on the morning of the 2nd. Voice is feeling a little bit better, but still a bit rough. But we've had overnight a couple of messages come in from our good friend Ryan Harvey. So Ryan was at the Sheffield gig and he is pinged me a couple of messages with his thoughts from the gig. So look forward to hearing this from Ryan.
Hi, JC. This is Ryan Harvey at the Harvey Boys with a late night call. Just back from the Sheffield gig and just thought I'd give you my thoughts. So just an hour away over the Peak District here from here, so I couldn't resist going to the opening night, really. So I was kind of glad it was Sheffield. Sheffield's my sort of spiritual family home, or my mother's side home. So absolutely enjoyed that. Went with one of the Harvey Boys, my sons, and absolutely loved it. And it was well worth going to just to see those first time things and what they did with the set and stage. So we went early, obviously, to see to actually get, you know, look at the merch, get some of the exclusive venue poster for the actual Sheffield gigs. They're doing 100 per show, so it was nice, cool to get one of those once they opened the doors. And then we were there to see Villanelle. So as you know, they were actually on support of my son's band, Alex Spencer, back in the O2 Ritz about 6 weeks ago. We actually got to hang out and meet them quite a lot in the evening and sell merchandise and stuff after the gig. So we were, you know, chatting away for about a good hour after, when they were just sort of trying to sell some merchandise. And so they're really sound lads. So I'm be a bit biased now, because they were, you know, really humble, really, you know, Gene sort of really nervous around just the attention, obviously, that he must get everywhere he goes. But they were absolutely sound to hang out with. So I was, yeah, enjoyed watching them. Wanted to see how they did. They performed, yeah, similar like they did at the Ritz. But yeah, they're definitely growing in their confidence. And well done to them for performing. I think it was probably about half full by the time they finished the set. There's a couple of, they haven't released any material yet, so, but there is a couple of the songs that are quite light now on repeated listening. And then cast, obviously, you know, standard brilliant Britpop 90s stuff. I sort of missed half of it trying to queue for the, get through people for the toilet. And then we could see, you could see behind the netting, because we were at the side, we were quite high up on the 200 blocks, but right sort of hard side onto the stage. So actually where we could see them walking up to the stage and stuff. But we could see that there was a massive globe, the Definitely Maybe globe behind the curtain. And obviously the flamingos and the palm trees that were scattered around. So that immediately confirmed what we thought after Liam had tweeted that, the flamingos picture the day before. But yeah, it was basically the big globe. They'd got Burt Bacharach was on the keyboard guy, so where they normally have rock and roll on the keyboard, on the white keyboard, basically got the Burt Bacharach cover there. They had a big one of the monitors was like the TV, so the Good, the Bad and the Ugly TVs that was behind Mike, the guitarist. So that was used to show different images and sort of do sort of 80s, 90s style flashing, crackly TV images quite a lot. And then, yeah, the Flamingos. What else? I don't know. Yeah, obviously great to see Bonehead come out and play the whole set. So this, yeah, the stage was brilliant. And we did the, we got the walk on. So they did various clips of Liam's famous interviews from 94, 95, 96, just sound bites while they walked on. So, you know, obviously everybody just went crazy as expected. So let me just look at the set list. So obviously Rock and Roll Star was predictably first, and then straight into Columbia, so immediately thought of you. But it's just so good, you know, for just admit it. It's so good with the thumping, you know, drums and the groove, I guess it's the groove as you call it. It's just so good in a live setting, I think. Shaker Maker was cool, Up in the Sky, obviously done properly rather than an addendum to whatever, as they used to do. Was it whatever? No, anyway, I can't remember. Diggsy's Dinner, again, cool. So these are all just cool. Liam was, voice was good. No issues. Issues when we get to Half the World Away, but before that, everything went rather smoothly, I think. Bring It On Down, as I say, we've heard that before with his band. Cloudburst, obviously enjoyed. I Will Believe, I really enjoyed. So it's just such a, I don't know, I guess it's Noel standard 101 pentatonic guitar solo deal. But that was really, I really enjoyed that one because I know that one, know that one quite well. And then Half the World Away was, just crazy. And unfortunately, there was an issue with the first issue I noticed with Liam's monitor. So he did get the timing wrong on the first couple of verses, and he was immediately reverted to the pissed off shouting at the sound guy or gesturing to the sound guy. As I think he'd either got too much of the violins or something in his monitors, and he couldn't hear, so he's kind of randomly guessed at the timing of the first two verses. But then once we got to the second verse, which I think is the clip that you've got, second verses and chorus, it was all good. So, and yeah, he did really well. So that was a bonus. And then Do You Want to Be a Spaceman? Really enjoyed Fade Away. Lock All the Doors, the sound was really loud, really distorted, so I couldn't really work out what that was until the chorus hit. And then I was like, but I literally think I've probably only heard that once anyway, so I was no way I was going to recognise it. And it is very slow, obviously not energetic at all. Good to Be Free, really cool. Whatever, they had the big screen of the field and the sky behind, so that was really cool. Cigarettes and Alcohol just went off properly, everyone going absolutely mental. Married with Children was okay, but they came up with a really, well, what I thought was a funny or not right drums for it. They were almost like do do da do do da, like a We Will Rock You sort of thing going through it. I don't know what type of drum beat you call that, but it didn't feel sound right. So I don't know if, was it Dan, the drummer, has come up with that, or someone else. I know when they obviously didn't play it live very often, so they had the really sort of punky Tony McCarroll drums when in the sort of 95, I guess. But it didn't sound right. And again, it was slow. I think it was a bit too slow. So not very, and I know it's not an energetic song, but they added drums to it, and the drums were a bit weird to me. So that I couldn't sort of distract myself from that during that one. And then they went off, and then the encore was, amazing. Supersonic, absolutely brilliant. Slide Away, which obviously we haven't heard for a while again as well, I think, from Liam's band. And Live Forever was brilliant, and I actually think they should have ended on that because everyone was on a massive high, and everyone's, arm in arm, the whole arena, arm in arm, singing that. And then they came back on. He didn't say Silly Billies because nobody left this time. But then I'm the Walrus was a bit like, I don't know, it was a bit of a damp squib. I felt like anyway. But I wonder if it's, again, more the super fans that know I'm the Walrus, or which seems odd because obviously the There and Then video and things like that. But yeah, I think everyone was maybe spent by that point. So the I'm the Walrus was a nice bonus, but it didn't really kick off or anything. Everyone was just there, polite golf clap, as Noel would say. So I think everyone's energy was drained after Live Forever. So it's cool to get another song, but he definitely could have, or maybe should end on Live Forever, because it's just the high point, really, that everyone's waiting for. And then to go off and come back and then do I'm the Walrus, that didn't seem very energetic, or at least the crowd weren't anyway. Yeah, that was it. Absolutely worth going. Anyone who can get a ticket. What I would say is the section in the middle with all the B-sides. So Cloudburst, I Believe. Yeah, the Lock All the Doors. Even It's Good to Be Free, to be honest. The energy did drop a bit. And now I know people kind of need to, they can't go full on all the way through the gigs well. So I would say the energy dropped. The Lock All the Doors, I mean, I don't really see the point in doing that, because that is literally for the, I don't know, I mean, even I didn't really recognise what it was. So that is a real niche target audience there. So I don't know, the crowd got a bit, it was definitely a lull of four or five songs in the middle where everyone had a rest, which is probably needed anyway when you're going crazy for the other songs. But yeah, obviously, I enjoyed them. You know, Cloudburst. I think I Will Believe was maybe the highlight for me. Just really enjoyed hearing that for the first time properly. So, and then I just look at the list again. I'd say Cigarettes and Alcohol was really, really good. And obviously, Slide Away with Bonehead playing. You know, obviously he's back from his illness as well. So, just amazing all around. Yeah, so I hope you can get to a gig, because it's definitely worth it for, you know, maybe not something you'll get to see, you know, see those songs, certainly all those 94, 95 songs played, you know, I don't think, you know, that's something that's going to happen again. So, definitely worth going along if you can. Keep your eye on Twickets and whatever. All right, good night, bye. Oh, and also another staging thing. They at 8:30, they put the big, like one of those clocks back in the day, it used to flick over for the numbers. So they put 2024 up at 8:30, which basically gave us a 30-minute countdown to the gig in years. So every 1 minute it went down, you know, 2023, 2022. So everyone sort of cheering when it hit sort of 96. And then, as you can imagine, when it hit 994, there was a big... And then that was, yeah, the point where the gig... They did the walk, started the video and did the walk on. So again, yeah, nice to see some effort put into the staging of it as well. So that was cool as well.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Really appreciate that. Yeah, that's... Sounds great, and it is tempting me more and more to try and get a ticket and go. Just to clarify, I'm going to be in Manchester on June the 16th when Liam is playing the arena, because obviously we've got this this upcoming Oasis Collectors Group Together We'll Fly thing at Salford Lads Club, which I'm going to be there for. So I'm actually around and in Manchester, and I'm tempted. So if anyone's got a spare ticket for that, that'd be great. Otherwise, I might just need to remortgage the house, but we shall see. All right, let's go back to me from last night. Right, very exciting, very cool. There's other things to cover in the world of Oasis, but I will pick up on that next episode, because, my voice is knackered. And, obviously that Liam stuff is very cool. So, we're going to come back on other stuff, such as the Noel doing the Jules Holland Black Keys, Noel appearing on various documentaries, Noel refusing to do the Poznan, various things we'll cover on next episode. But for now, we will pass over to me and author Andrew Rooney. Yeah.
luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right. So, Andrew Rooney, welcome to the Oasis podcast, man. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
No,
I've been a big fan for a while, and it's a treat. So thank you.
And you're up at a stupid o'clock in the morning over there in the USA.
Yes, it is 5:04 a.m. right now, but you know, ready to go and a productive day ahead of me. So,
good stuff. Good stuff. But so, whereabouts are you? Is it Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
Yes. So Milwaukee. So it's about an hour and a half north of Chicago, smack dab in the middle of the Midwest. I don't know if you have any NBA fans who listen to your show, but the Milwaukee Bucks are the hometown basketball team. So they've grown pretty popular here in the last couple of years, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that my main thing, my main knowledge of Milwaukee is that bit when Alice Cooper breaks down Milwaukee in Wayne's World.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be dropping in the clip of that here.
So do you come to Milwaukee often?
Well, I'm a regular visitor here, but Milwaukee has certainly had its share of visitors. The French missionaries and explorers were coming here as early as the late 1600s to trade with the Native Americans.
In fact, isn't Milwaukee an Indian name?
Yes, Pete, it is. Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
I was not aware of that.
I think one of the most interesting aspects of Milwaukee is the fact that it's the only major American city to have ever elected 3 socialist mayors.
Does this guy know how to party or what?
Huh? Huh?
So there you go. So yeah, that was it. But yeah, I'm a big NBA fan. And yeah, Giannis, the Greek,
is just
an absolute legend, isn't he? He's a monster.
Oh, he's phenomenal. He actually lives about a mile and a half from here. So you know, he's hopefully not sleeping right now, but...
Fair enough. No, as I'm Irish parentage, so I'm a Boston Celtics fan, obviously, because I think that's the rules, isn't it? If you're Irish,
yeah, you have to be.
That is kind of the rules. So, yeah. Although, what was it? There's a player called Trae Young, which obviously, like, hey, Trae Young, but apparently, like, people don't like him. I think he's a bit of a prick. I think apparently. Cool. All right. Well, look. So, so I suppose the main reason we're talking is that you are have joined a pantheon of Oasis book authors, which is very exciting. So it's sort of on track, part of the On Track series.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you feeling? It's out there. I've seen sort of pictures of it in the world now. It must be very exciting.
Yeah, it is. So I got a copy right here. I know there's a little bit of a logistics issue of trying to send you a copy, but hopefully the copy that you got worked in terms of just being able to go through it. It's funny though, because the actual book was probably finished last year at this point, but you know, it didn't come out until late last year. So it's just, you know, kind of going through that process of the publishing and the editing, you know, it's kind of a time consuming process, but feels good. It's exciting. I got to spend a lot of time with those songs, which was fun, you know, especially kind of the songs that people don't really talk about. So,
yeah, no, great. Well, I've had the PDF. I'll definitely be hoping to get a paper copy, but yeah, it was, I'm going to say I was a bit gutted actually, because the idea for what became, some might say, the book that Richard did based on the podcast interviews, my original idea for that was an Oasis track by track, right? Yeah. So I thought that's what I really want to do, because you know, one of my favorite books is Revolution in the Head. which is the same for the Beatles. And I just thought, oh, that's what we really, that's what I could really do with, is we've got enough of the, you know, the rise of Oasis and the first two albums or whatever. We've had enough of that, but I want breakdowns, you know, and that's why we do the Oasis Dead, you know. So I sort of thought, oh, so that's, you know, that's the chance to talk about things, and doing it as A to Z, it means you talk about songs that are not necessarily the most interesting ones or the most, you know, popular ones, because if you follow in that route, that's just what you got to do. But yeah, but then so, and I'd sort of thought about writing that book myself. I'm not a writer, but I thought that's what we really want. And then when it came up, you'd done it, I was like, ah, well, number one, I'm happy it's going to be out there because I wanted it to be out there, and it means I don't have to write it. But I was a bit like, oh, fuck's sake, that was my idea. But anyway, so, well done. But was it, so what was the idea? Was that, because I know it's part of a series, isn't it, on track? So,
yeah, so the, so there's a publisher called Sonic Bond Publishing. They do books on different bands, movies, the decades. And they have this program called On Track. And basically they look at an entire artist's career in terms of officially released songs from the first album to the end. So my kind of mission was to start with Definitely Maybe, you know, the associated singles, and then kind of work through the entire catalog. And like you say, that was fun because, you know, we all know those first two albums, you know, so well, and all those singles. But I mean, you know, when you get into, you know, Heathen Chemistry and stuff like that, you're playing songs that you don't really listen to as much, you know? So it's kind of fun to go through the whole catalog and say, hey, you know, this song is better than I thought it was, or, you know, this song was great. You know, no one talks about this song. So it was fun to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, well, that's cool. Well, look, let's just take it back. So are you a Milwaukee boy? Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, so I grew up here. I was born in San Francisco, wound up here in fifth grade, so about 12 years old, and then I've been here since then. Done some odd jobs. I actually work in education right now. So this book was mainly written at 10 o'clock at night, so half hour here and there, you know, 2 hours on a Sunday maybe, but yeah.
And is there much of a music scene in and around Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or do you have to go to Chicago to see the bands? What's the plan?
You get a lot of great artists coming through here, actually. So the stadium where the Bucks play is a great place to see kind of bigger bands like that. The east side of Milwaukee has always been famous for concerts, Bayview area. I don't catch quite as much local music as I did 10 years ago, but a good scene here.
Cool. And what about you? So when did you grow up, like, you know, getting into music was sort of when did you first start getting into music, and where did Oasis come into that?
So my parents are both big fans. You know, I kind of did the classic rock, 101, Beatles, Stones, Eagles, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin. And then from there, you know, that kind of takes you into some of the Britpop stuff. So when I was in San Francisco growing up, I actually remember this, and I make a shout out to my dad in my book. Definitely Maybe had just been released. And so there was this big display of CDs, and I think it was a CD warehouse and outside San Francisco. And he had heard about this album. I think George Martin had made some type of quote about, you know, Noel Gallagher being the best songwriter since John and Paul. And he had heard that quote, and he pointed the album out to me and said, you know, this is going to be huge, you know, and I actually picked it up at that point. Didn't really become a fan for, you know, 5 or 10 years after that, but kind of the traditional classic rock route sent me to Oasis.
Yeah. And so how old were you then in 94 then? Or when you first...
So I probably would have been 10 when that happened, so...
Right. Very cool. And then do you remember sort of when you first got into them and sort of that sort of impact, or was it, I know obviously in America it's sort of, you know, it sort of was slightly different, you know, especially if you weren't there for that couple of years in 95, 96 when it went mad. So how did that
sort usually of... different. So MTV was absolutely massive here from like 90, you know, 94, 95, 96. So my first exposure to kind of those songs was the Wonderwall music video, Champagne Supernova music video. You know, most of those songs I had always heard, but, you know, it took probably until I was 13, 14 years old until I actually sat down and said, all right, let's, you know, play this album. But those music videos were absolutely giant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And did you get to see them live at all?
I did not, sadly. So they came through Milwaukee a few times, and actually the version of Hey, Hey, My, My on A Familiar to Millions was actually recorded here. No, I missed a couple opportunities, you know, just family obligations and traveling, but I never saw them live. So,
no, fair enough. And is it sort of, I mean, with in and around like you and your friends and things, is like, how big are they, you know, as compared? Are you like the weird guy that likes Oasis, or is it like, are they big enough that that's not necessarily weird?
It's not weird, but I would not say that most of my kind of contemporary friend group are fans. You know, it's a shame for me because I absolutely love Britpop. So, you know, Oasis, Stone Roses, Blur, you know, all that stuff. And my friend group is pretty dialed in to music, so they know about those bands, but I would say that they're not really big fans, sadly. No. So, and yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And so what about with this, with the book then? Was it like, have you written books before, or was this your first sort of first attempt?
So I wrote for the school newspaper in college, did some record and concert reviews, some kind of random culture stuff, had a couple bad attempts at starting a blog, but this was kind of the first official book that I wrote.
Okay.
And you know, kind of learning kind of what worked, what didn't work. If I could go back and do things again, I would definitely make some changes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And how did it come about then? Did you just contact the publisher and say, look, I know you're doing this On Track series. I'd be happy to do the Oasis one.
So, yeah. So actually, my dad is a massive fan of the band Yes. I also love prog rock and all that stuff too. So I was actually reading a book on Yes, which was written or part of that series. And, you know, there's a little page back there that says, if you'd like to write for us, you know, email us at this address. And I'm like, oh, you know, so email them. You know, didn't really expect to hear back, but I hear back from this very nice man, Stephen Lamb, who's kind of the guy who was in charge of it. And he said, who are some people who you would like to do? And, you know, like you kind of see their list of all the bands that have been done, you know, you kind of Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, The Stones, you know, all those. So I was trying to think of a band that had a rich, strong catalog, but also, you know, kind of was a little bit undervalued in some circles. And so that's how I chose Oasis.
Right. Okay. I mean, like I said earlier, like what I really like about this and what I liked about obviously Richard's book was the fact that it is the whole career. You know, it's not just you know, so many of them. It just annoys me that it's stupid that you've got all these books, you know, about Oasis that just followed like 94 to 96 and like film and things like that. And yet, you know, there's those albums were still huge and those the concerts and everything were still huge and there's some important stuff. So I suppose that so for you as a fan, had you always taken the long view of the looking at the whole career, or was it then more of like a journey for you to actually go, oh, hold on, what is, you know, what are these sort of later B-sides and things like that?
So I was familiar with the whole career. I was always, so I when I was in high school, college, I became obsessed with purchasing all the singles, you know, so I had all these B-sides, all these singles, but, you know, I'm not really playing the how the Lila single that much, just, I mean, that's a great single, but, I'm just happy to have it. So kind of being forced to go through the whole career, gave me a newfound love for all those songs. But I think, to your point, the format works well because we all know and love, those first two albums, right? But whenever people talk about them, they talk about as if, Be Here Now kind of marked the end of their career. And it's like, they still had four more albums after that with great songs, great singles, great B-sides. So I kind of liked writing about those more than I liked writing about, Slide Away, which is obviously a phenomenal song, but, how much more can one say about it? It's kind of like when you read those Beatles books, they're absolutely phenomenal. And A Revolution in the Head is a favorite of mine too. But, Ian McDonald found a way to talk about the songs in such a brilliant way. Mm. And a part of that was that he was able to access all those Abbey Road recording logs. And it would be great if someday Noel would, make it easy for us to kind of hear all these demos and, kind of the step-by-step process. And then, someone could write a really, really a definitive book on all those sessions. But
yeah, that's, I completely agree. And I even like, I think that like, there is sort of logs. Nick Brine's got the logs for like Morning Glory, just because they're yeah, still there. Yeah. In the studio, but it's not mm-hmm. even, he goes, yeah, I think I've got those somewhere in the cow shed. You know what I mean? Like the, they've got them, but yeah, that's what we want. Like I like a lot of Beatles podcasts, and they know, for instance, okay, on the, this date in 1970 was the last ever session. And it was like right. the overdubs that Paul yeah. came in and did on I Me Mine. Or I don't know if that's, I think that's right. But you know what I mean? So we know what the last ever session was, that what the last ever thing the Beatles recorded was. We haven't got a clue for Oasis. What we know is, well, Dig Out Your Soul was recorded between these dates. And then, but who knows, like whether the, whether it was the overdubs for Soldier On was the last thing they were, we just don't know. And so no, I completely agree. It's so frustrating that really that's what we need. We need someone in Ignition or someone in, whoever it is to just go, right, let's write the definitive book and let's get every session log and let's get, let's just get it all out there because otherwise we're just guessing, aren't we?
And I think there are two great Oasis books left to be written. I think the first one is that one right there, where someone really goes in and writes a 300-400 page book that really dives into every single version of these songs. I also think the second great book is a book that's written in full cooperation with Noel, Liam, Bonehead, that, it's a true biography.
Yeah.
That, has the cooperation of all the main players.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't think, as I said, there's the Supersonic book that came out a couple of years ago, but which is the transcripts of the interviews.
Yeah.
But once again, it's like 94 to 96. And so,
focus on those.
But yeah, and then as well, it's like, one of the nice things about your book and things is that, and obviously it's something I try and do on the A to Z feature when we focus on the individual songs is that, digging into those facts, those little facts about the songs that when it's B-sides and things like that, you might not even think about. So, people might not know who, I don't know who Diggsy is, right? And so actually you go, oh no, well, Diggsy was Stephen Deary. He was in the books and Smaller. And, and like even, because there's a lot of, one of the things I've been meaning to keep going back and doing is just like all of the, like, these movie YouTube channels that will do like Easter egg breakdowns and in every, things you missed sort of breakdowns on films or trailers or whatever. And there's so many little Oasis cultural references. So like at the end of, which is, it's one of the Stand By Me B-sides where it goes jazz, nice. And that's like a reference to the Fast Show. You know what I mean? There's so many, there's little bits like that that they pepper throughout it.
Jazz. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, and welcome to Jazz Club, bringing you all that's best in the world of jazz. Nice.
So what was your main sort of sources as you're obviously you're listening to the music and you're actually just writing your opinions on the songs themselves?
Yeah.
You then sort of going out to books, you're going out to reviews from the time. What was your process?
So all of that. So the Supersonic book was big. The Richard Bowes book was big. I did read, you know, some of the kind of more kind of band written memoirs. McCarroll's memoir, but really just, you know, kind of listening to the songs, you know, kind of looking for past articles or reviews, you know, trying to synthesize that a little bit. Noel and Liam, but you know, Noel especially has made so many comments on almost every single one of these songs in the past that, you know, you can pretty much find a Noel quote for every single song, you know, so trying to work in some of those quotes, you know, see what people say about the song. As someone who never really played a instrument, I can't really speak, you know, to the musical intricacies of the song, but, you know, so it becomes, you know, kind of more of a, what do people tend to say about the song? What did the press, you know, say about the song? What did the band think about this song? Is this something that's underrated, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And that's one of the things I find tricky is that when you like Revolution in the Head, for instance, obviously he's a, you know, he is a really clever musician.
Yeah.
And they're able to break down. Okay, well, look, on this song it's because he goes to the A sus chord there and it's an Aeolian note or, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that sort of stuff goes over my head a little bit. But obviously I know a little, I played guitar a small amount and I kind of get, okay, well that's why he goes from minor to minor, but I don't understand it. All I know is like, I love the change from, you know, stand up beside a fireplace, take that look from off your face. And I know it's because he goes from an F to an F minor and that major to minor is what makes it so magic, you know? So there's little things like that I know about, but I suppose it's tricky when you've got to, you know, I suppose there's some songs that have got more about them, you know, that and then some of them, I suppose there's not a huge amount to say, you know, so I suppose that must be tricky for you to sort of, you're going to do a whole chapter on Supersonic because we know the making of Supersonic, you know, everyone knows that story. But then something like, I don't know, Get Off Your High Horse Lady, there might be like 3 lines or something. So it must have been tricky to kind of decide where to put your focus.
Yeah, and you know, kind of like you say, for Supersonic, for Wonderwall, you know, Slide Away, you know, some might say, right, like those big hits, we have so much information on those songs. So, you know, you kind of have to pick and choose what to talk about. And then, you know, for essentially songs from the last 4 albums, with a few exceptions, there's not really as much out there. So, you know, you kind of have to kind of dig a little bit deeper for that. But I think also what you kind of say right there is part of why Noel was so brilliant, because a person without some of the musical background of someone like a George Martin or, you know, some of the raw talent of someone like, you know, McCartney, he was still able to write those songs that had those, you know, key changes and those choruses. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And with the so having gone through those, like you're saying, like the later ones and the B-sides that maybe you weren't familiar with, did any really jump out to you as like, oh wow, how did I not realize that this was so special?
So I think, like many people, Idler's Dream, you know, is something that has really spoke to me. I had heard that on the Hindu Times single, but, you know, it's just kind of blends in with everything else when you first hear it. And then, you know, kind of going back, you're like, holy shit, that song's great. I think Don't Believe the Truth in general, always an album that I liked, especially those singles, but things like, you know, Keep the Dream Alive, I'm like, how is this not a big hit? You know, so just kind of going back and hearing those. Heathen Chemistry, you know, Born on a Different Cloud, songs like that are great. Probably my least favorite album, but I mean, every song or every album has, you know, great songs. I mean, you know, Oasis doesn't really have a lot of bad songs. You know, even their songs that are not great are still pretty solid. I mean, some of the B-sides maybe get a little bit shaky towards the end, but yeah, so I'd say Don't Believe the Truth was probably the album that I fell in love with again.
And how did you choose? Like, was there a sort of a remit within, you know, because that's you say every album, every song, but obviously with Oasis, you cover B-sides as well. You mentioned the pre-Definitely Maybe stuff, but you don't go into a lot of, you know, you don't mention like Noel's early demos, for instance, but you mention the like Take Me and Reminisce and those. But just you just sort of cover those off briefly. Was there a sort of decision to make about, well, I mean, what do you include and what don't you include?
So I had included a few extra pages on those kind of early demos, like Snakebite and stuff like that, that actually got taken out. You know, so I kind of wish they would have taken out everything, because then, you know, kind of real fans like you are like, well, you know, why are they talking about these four songs but not, you know, these other songs? But I mean, kind of like you said, where if there was information or kind of verifiable details, I would try to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some phenomenal websites that I know that you've talked about on the podcast, like oasisrecordinginfo.com or and then the demos website as well.
Oh, you know, there's a lot of Mr. Monogram, isn't it? He's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of great stuff on there. But I mean, you know, really, any song that appeared on their official album. So something like, you know, Familiar to Millions, right? I had already talked about Supersonic in the first chapter, but, you know, I didn't talk about Hey, Hey, My, My. So then I would talk about that song. The B-sides, obviously, you know, the Goal soundtrack. Any song that was, you know, Within You, Without You, you know, just kind of any song that officially was put out at some point during their career.
Yeah. See, that's interesting, though, isn't it? Because stuff like Within You, Without You was not an official release. It was just like it was performed on a TV show. So it's sort of because there's these quirky things when you think about, OK, how many songs did they release? It's like, well,
right.
Do you count Wibbling Rivalry? You know what I mean?
So, I actually did. So the Wikipedia bastard website, but, you know, still has some good stuff. They actually have a page called Every Recording by Oasis. So I printed that off at one point, and, you know, I think there's, I don't know, I could pull it up here, but so I basically kind of used that as my checklist of, you know, what songs to go through. So, you know, they have a Wibbling Rivalry, they have Within You, Without You. They don't have any of the demos, though, but, you know, I kind of use that as the sheet to kind of cross-reference.
Yeah, no, and then you've got things like, you know, obviously Don't Stop having come out now, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't an official recording at the time.
Yeah,
it's things that like Oasis record that were Oasis songs, you know, but they were going to be Oasis songs, but then came out on Noel's albums and or BDI.
Yeah,
albums, things like that.
So the Don't Stop, you know, kind of serves as the conclusion of the book. Solo stuff, you know, I think there's a great book to be written there, but I just because of kind of the limitations of the series and you have to stay within a certain word count, actually, just for the publisher. There just wasn't enough space to talk about the solo albums. But I mean, I think, you know, especially with the Definitely Maybe tour next year, I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff that comes out here over the next few years with both Liam and Noel. So,
yeah. I mean, by the sounds of it, I mentioned it on the last episode, but we're getting an official release for the Sawmill Sessions. We're getting an official release for Mono Valley, which would be good because it's not come out before. But still, yeah, we know that there is other stuff out there to come. And so, so I suppose if we do end up finding some, you know, five or six new songs, then that's the second edition in a couple of years.
It's a new book, yeah. And I mean, I'm hoping to hear the Liam version of a Sad Song, you know, and kind of its perfect audio quality. That, you know, that's my hope here. And, it, you know, I know that Noel has never been shy about putting out these deluxe edition box sets and stuff. So I hope that, you know, when he does that for the last four albums, that we get a lot of these demos and, you know, kind of live versions of the songs and covers that, you know, he did in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose it's tricky then as well, like with like live versions or live versions of songs. I know you've mentioned, like, you know, you'll mention the Columbia, and then you mentioned, you know, when talking about the B-side, you mentioned the Columbia White Label and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or then you've got things like collaborations as well, you know, like playing All I Want to Do Is Rock by Travis.
you know, like a bit
of a minefield, I suppose.
So I didn't talk about any of the Prodigy stuff. I did talk about, of course, Setting Sun, because, you know, that was such a important song for Noel. But I mean, you know, it was really any song that was listed as a track on either an album or a single. So, you know, like Live Forever, right? You have three or four versions, because it's on Definitely Maybe, it's on the single, and then there's a live version on one of the singles. So then, you know, can you talk about it in all three versions? But, you know, by the time you get to the third version, there's not really much else to say about it. Mm. But yeah, so any song that was listed as a track was talked about.
Yeah. And what about having analyzed it? I mean, are you thinking about the lyrics particularly? I know there's mentions of, well, this was about Louise Jones, or I suppose having done this and having deliberately had to listen to the songs to analyze them, did it give you any sort of insight into, you know, Noel's thinking when it came to lyrics? I know he's often get criticized that they aren't necessarily that deep, but what's your thoughts on that?
I think Noel's lyrics are better than he's given credit for. I mean, of course, you know, first and foremost, he's a tunesmith. He writes a great chorus, he writes a great hook and a melody. I think his lyrics are better than people think they are, you know. So sometimes when you're like looking up a song, you know, a Girl in the Dirty Shirt, for example, right? You know, you kind of read what people say about that song, you know, you kind of mention that, but then, you know, you kind of make your own conclusions at the end. And I think sometimes with Noel, I think sometimes he just wrote what came easiest and it, you know, didn't really mean much. But then I think there are times where he, you know, was trying to make more of a profound statement.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's often, like, it's subconscious and conscious stuff, isn't there? That you know, and often there's certain songs that might, it sounds like he's writing about Liam, but then it will suddenly go into, like, well, no, actually, is he writing about a girlfriend or something?
Yeah.
What's he saying there?
Well, and you know, something that I talk about in my book, there are two things that kind of casual fans and critics love to kind of look for in these songs, and it's Beatles references, which, you know, gets a little bit played out, even though some of them are true. And then people try to assume that every single lyric is about Noel and Liam, you know, and I don't think that's true either. But especially in the US, unfortunately, after you get past those first two albums, no one really talks about the other stuff, you know, and people just talk about the gossip and, you know, the drama and the drunken parties, but, you know, people forget about those those songs. And, you know, so part of my point with this book was trying to get people to say, okay, you know, all that stuff can still be true, but, you know, we still got a great body of work here.
Yeah, no, I noticed that on your blurb. It was like, no, this isn't focused on the stories and the fights and the stuff. And that's exactly like the podcast really is tries to be. I mean, if someone, you know, wanted to phone me up, you know, do an interview, they were a photographer and Liam punched them, great.
Yeah, that'd be entertaining.
But you know, most of the time. But I just find, you know, it's funny. I just find a lot of that talk, you know, is just boring, you know, and yet what we've got, what made them great, you know, it was the image and it was the fighting and it was everything else. But ultimately, if the music had been rubbish, you know, there's been great bands out there that have looked great or they've had fights or there's whatever, but you just don't, you know, if the songs aren't good, you're not going to make it, are you? You're not going to stay the time.
No. And, you know, it's, people can, you know, quibble about this, but I always say they're the best singles band of all time in terms of non-album singles. And people always say, well, what about the Beatles? And I say for non-album singles, I'd actually put the Beatles behind Oasis. So
what do you mean non-album singles? Sorry.
Well, so, you know, like if you take all of the Oasis B-sides, right?
Oh, right. Okay. Every song.
That the Beatles B-sides. Yeah. You know, the Beatles B-sides are great, but I don't think that they go quite as deep as you know, the Oasis B-sides. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've got a collection of songs that weren't on albums, like the Beatles is the Past Masters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got an album of just every, like there's the Master Plan, obviously. And, you know, and if you've been a fan, like Master Plan Volume 2. Yeah. That as, yeah, I got you. Yeah. 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 There's not many fans that, you know, that have got, I know like Stone Roses have got a few, Smiths have got a few, but most bands, they tended to
get. Yeah, and you know, yeah, and Blur, The Jam, but you know, kind of that great British tradition of, you know, putting out a, you know, an A side and then having a B side, you know, with one or two songs that are sometimes just as good as those songs. And I mean, this point has been belabored, included in my book, but if Noel would have just kind of slowed down a little bit, he would have had 4 killer albums of all of those songs that he could have put out, you know. But then, you know, instead you have 4 singles and, you know, you're kind of songs like, you know, Talk Tonight or, you know, Around Our Way, which would have made for a phenomenal album, you know, kind of get lost on these singles a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's funny, so it's obviously because over here, like we were, you know, it was just a standard thing. You go and buy the singles and it was such a part of it. But it is strange that when you talk to Americans or people in other countries where, you know, that just wasn't the case. And so a lot of people, it was only here in the Master Plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
right.
Obviously now we're in a post-streaming world. And so, you know, you can get, you know, that's why when I listen to Oasis, unless it's coming up to an anniversary or something, or unless it's for an upcoming episode, I'll just tend to listen to them on shuffle, you know, Oasis A to Z. And I think it's a really democratic way of listening because it means that you're not going to get a focus on the first 2 albums. You are going to get, you know, later stuff and B-sides, and they're all going to put in. So,
yeah.
So I suppose that's the big difference, really, is that pre and post streaming, really. It's huge.
Oh, you've absolutely hit it on the head there because, you know, for me, and I talk about this in the book, like when I wanted to hear your, you know, to buy the Hindu Time single, to buy, you know, the Don't Go Away, you know, the Japanese import, some of those albums get expensive, you know, but like it turns into like a hobby to collect them all, you know. So now I have all my little, you know, B-sides, my, I think it's 32 or 36 singles. But now that they're on streaming services, it's almost made it too easy and kind of takes a little bit of that fun away from it. I mean, but now you can go onto Spotify and you can have access to 99% of all the songs that are talked about in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, look, so where can people get the book? What's the plan?
So the best place to buy it from is, of course, directly from the publisher, Sonic Bound Publishing. I can email you a link. Of course, it's on Amazon as well. You know, not quite as fun, and but it's very easy to find it there.
Excellent. And if people want to follow you, you're Ramblin' Rune, aren't you?
Yeah, my Twitter presence isn't that big, but yes, Ramblin' Rune, that's me. That was the byline that I used when I wrote for the paper, and actually the same tagline that my dad used 50 years ago in high school. So,
oh, that's nice. It's a nice continuation. Cool. All right. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. It's been really good fun. I'll definitely, as I say, I've really enjoyed reading the Word version I've got, but I'll have to grab it. But yeah, Andrew, thank you very much. And
thank you very much. I appreciate it. And take it easy.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So thank you very much to Andrew. And if you want to get hold of that book, then do check out the link in the description of this episode. It will be there. You can grab it. And yeah, definitely worth a read because it's a really good breakdown of each individual song. So it is very, very cool. All right, that'll do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post additional episodes, and there's free gifts available and all kinds of stuff like that. So it's all very good. Oh, and you get access to the Discord server. That's quite a big deal. So if you are a patron and you want to get on the Discord server, drop me a message. Or if you want to become a patron, then you know what to do. Do please follow on social media. At Oasis Podcast on Twitter is the best place to be. And and we'll be back next time with the Britpop footballer, Paul McGregor, ex-Nottingham Forest player, which is very, very exciting. Great interview, if I do say so myself. We will see you again very soon. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.